Hey, welcome to the Eddie Height Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, Eddie Height. So glad to be back with you today as we continue our exciting journey through the book of Acts. I want to dwell a little bit more on Acts chapter 2, 4, 1 through 4, rather. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And I want to emphasize the word empowering, because this is what it's about. It's about the empowering of the church. The church was already in existence. The word church, the Greek word ecclesia, merely, it's not an organization. It's not a building. It's when God's people are gathered together, it is considered an ecclesia, even if two or three gather together. As it says, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, I think it's verse 19, he says, "Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them." And so on the day of Pentecost, it was the fulfillment of God's promises to them, and fulfillment of, I believe it's Matthew chapter 3. It's around verses 16 through 19, I believe it is, where John the Baptist, who was baptizing people in water, and when he saw Jesus coming, he introduced him to the nation as the one they were looking for, the Messiah. But even before Jesus came on the scene, John said, "I truly baptize you." And the word baptize is the Greek word baptizo, and it means to soak. It means to cover. It was used in ancient times of a ship that had been sunk and was underwater. It was completely covered over. Baptizo. So John wasn't just throwing a few drops on people. He was baptizo them. He was baptizing them, immersing them in water. But you see, he said, "I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me." He was talking about Jesus, the Messiah, and said, "He is so great, I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. And he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Wow. And so Acts 2:4 is a fulfillment of that. Also a fulfillment of Acts 1:4, where, now, I was quoting John the Baptist. That's in Acts chapter, Matthew. Bear with me here. That is Matthew chapter 3. Just bear with me, and I'll go over and get the exact reference for you. It's actually Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist said to the crowds, multitudes that were coming to him, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Are you ready for Jesus's baptism? The Jesus baptism is with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so Acts 2:4 was a fulfillment of that prophecy of John the Baptist. Also fulfillment of Acts 1:4, where Jesus said, or Luke is recording what Jesus said. Acts 1:4, Luke says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so these promises of a baptism of the Holy Spirit, they were fulfilled. But it wasn't just a one-time thing for the church. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, Acts 2:1, they were all together in one place, in one accord. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I say that this was never meant to be just a one-time event. It was the beginning of the empowering of the church. But the church has to believe God for it, has to feel its need for this baptism, this empowering of the Holy Spirit. Let me show you, there are other places where this happened also. Let me give you one in Acts chapter 10. And in this situation in Acts 10, the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter and told him to go to the house of Cornelius, who was a Gentile, an Italian, a Roman centurion, a Roman officer. And actually, this Roman centurion named Cornelius, he had been fasting and praying and seeking God. He had a hunger for God. And folks, when people have a hunger for God, God will respond to that hunger. And interestingly, the angel appeared to him and said, Cornelius, your prayers. But he would also give alms, and others, he would help people in need. Said your prayers and alms have come up as a memorial before God. And now I want you to send for Peter. And he told him exactly where Peter was dwelling. And he said, he will speak to you words by which you can be saved. Interestingly, the angel could not tell him how he could be saved. God has reserved that for his people, for the body of Christ, whom he has commissioned to preach the gospel to every creature. What a wonderful privilege and responsibility. Angels were not given this. I'm sure they would love to, but angels were not given this privilege and responsibility. We human beings who put our faith in Jesus, we have this privilege of telling the world the good news of Jesus. All the angel could do was to tell him where to go get a follower of Jesus to come and tell him how they could be saved. So Peter came and he began to preach the message to these Gentiles about Jesus. And all of a sudden, even as he was speaking, let me read it to you in Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Yeah, he fell. Now, there are expressions in Acts, different expressions. It'll talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It'll talk about the Holy Spirit falling upon people. It will talk about, you know, we've already read about this expression, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but these are all synonymous terms for the same experience. And now, we're going to see that Peter considered this to be the same experience that they had. Even though they did not have all the outward manifestations, there's no indication of a sound of a rushing mighty wind as on the day of Pentecost. There's no indication of tongues of fire sitting on their heads. But one thing they do have the same, they broke out speaking in tongues. This was a thing that was similar. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, in addition to those Jews who had received it beginning on the day of Pentecost. They were astonished that God had poured out the Spirit on these Gentiles also. Well, how did they know? Well, look at verse 46 says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Well, that's what they were doing on the day of Pentecost. And there were Jewish believers in Jesus who had gone with Peter to this house of Cornelius, who had gathered in all of his family and relatives and household. And so there was probably quite a crowd there. And at this point, there is still a lot of prejudice, and there is still a lot of questions of whether Gentiles can really be saved without becoming Jews, without the men becoming proselytes and committing to keep all the Jewish traditions and laws and so on. But here, all of a sudden, merely as they hear the gospel and put their faith in Jesus, they hear about Jesus, put their faith in him, nobody lays hands on them. The Holy Spirit falls upon them. And these Jewish believers are astonished. Wow. Because God, they hear them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. In verse 47, Peter said, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Did you hear that? Peter said they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Now, not all the same manifestations are there. The only manifestation that is similar is the speaking in tongues and glorifying God. Peter said they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. And in my book, 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity, I have documented down through history people receiving the Holy Spirit being poured out upon them, and them receiving the Holy Spirit just as they did on the day of Pentecost. And you can receive this same promised baptism, empowerment, filling of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how the church needs this today to face the challenges that we're facing. Thank God for our beautiful choirs, but that in itself won't cut it. Thank God for our beautiful praise bands and worship teams, but that in and of itself won't cut it. Thank God for our beautiful cathedrals and churches, but that in and of itself won't cut it. Thank God for the great preachers and wonderful orators, but that in itself won't cut it. We have to have a new Pentecost in the church if we're going to be able to face the wokeism and the secularism and the atheism and the foreign religions that are trying to take over our land. We must have a new Pentecost. Join with me in praying for that today as we wind this up. But be sure and get my book, 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity, that documents these outpourings of the Holy Spirit. And if you would like to do a study, a systematic study of this, get the manual and study guide called Revival History. And it has a subtitle, 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity. Both are available on Amazon. Both are available on our website at eddieheit.com. And I will look forward to seeing you tomorrow. God bless.